This movie gets to me. It just does. I think it has something to do with how I talked to you about last week, about how when the marching band started playing the song, all I heard was musical notes being played on instruments. No words, nothing of the sort, just the tune that you just heard. Until I decided one day to watch the movie, and there is an underlying message that I think is important in the movie that you and I can use in our Christian walk. Let's pray. Father, I just continue to ask that you would help me to speak your words, not mine. Help me, Lord, to convey some of the things that this movie and some of the songs mean to me that we can maybe use to help us to see ourselves in a different light, help us see ourselves more challenged to do things for you and not to give up. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So for those that are watching online, if there's a split screen right now, try to capture this QR code. If not, after the service is over, we'll put the links for a song we just got done watching called This Is Me. It'll be in the comments if you can't capture that now. We have a lot to unpack this morning. Before we start talking about the clip we just watched, last week we were talking about how Barnum had a dream to be the greatest showman. He saw that suit in the window and he saw himself in it as a boy, and he eventually grew up. We talked about the words of the song, A Million Dreams. He eventually grew up. He eventually got his girl. He had all sorts of things stacked against him. He came from a poor family. His father died when he was still a boy, found his father dead one morning. He's trying everything he can to make ends meet. He's stealing fruit for food. He sees people throwing their newspapers away, so he starts taking those out of the garbage. He's reselling them to people, trying to do something to make money, try to make a way for himself because he has nobody else but himself. And eventually, the movie tends to depict that he joins the railroad, and then he grows up and he finally goes out to that girl's house. And one of the other things is against him is his the girl has now grown up into a young lady. One of the last things the father-in-law, not the father-in-law yet, but the potential father-in-law says, is she'll be back. She'll tired of your ways and be tired of having nothing. But he goes on, and she wants to be part of that dream. And we did talk last week about how that dream, it's okay to have dreams, but we want the person that we're dreaming with to be part of it. But God particularly, we want him to be part of that dream. But everything was stacked against him. It was an uphill battle for him to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. But he did. He became the greatest showman. He had all these people that became part of the show. We're going to break away from talking about Barnum for a minute. We're going to go to Isaiah, chapter 41, verses 9 through 13. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee for the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. It goes on in verse 10, fearest thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Verse 11 goes on to say, behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing and they that strive with thee shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing. And he goes on to say in the very next verse, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. All throughout the Bible, that is the God that we're talking about. Yes, he punishes. Yes, sometimes he allows us to be tested, but does not test us himself. Yes, sometimes you have something you want to do, and you know, like we said earlier, sometimes we think we know better than God, but when God doesn't answer the prayer we want the way we wanted to answer, we think that he failed us until everything falls into place the way it should, and then we go, oh yeah, God's way was the better way. So God does care about us. That is the God depicted throughout the whole Bible. Regardless if he punished his people, he still loves us. The Bible tells us over the underlying whole message of the Bible is that God loves us. He wants us to love him back. He wants us to be part of his plan. He wants us to be part of the greatest show ever. So here we are, in that same kind of idea, even though it's throughout the whole scripture, Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's this very same thing that Isaiah is saying in chapter 41. When God at the very end to Isaiah says in verse 13, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? We're going to contrast that now, because here we have in the story, Barnum has become successful. He has all these people, from Tom Thumb to the albino woman to the big fat man to the big tallest man to the guy with tattoos all over his body, which is a good chunk of most of our population nowadays. There's so many people in that you saw. The Siamese, the conjoined twins, and so many others. They were part of the show. And for a while there, everything was going well. I mean, they were putting on these shows and people were getting into it. But Barnum comes to a point where I feel like this is what happened in the movie. He's successful. They're making money. The people that he's working with, they're getting paid. There's a new guy on board. He was the guy up in the window looking down toward one of those scenes. He's invested into the show and everything seems to be going okay. But instead of all the people that are the well-to-do in the country laughing with him, they're laughing at him. He's not getting the notoriety he wanted. And so in the movie, and he goes on a trip, and he goes over to Europe, I believe, and he meets this lady named Jenny Lind. She's a fabulous opera singer, and he wants to somehow bring her to the United States and take her tour the country and make this great show that, okay, you're only going to get certain people to come watch the freak show, if you will. But other people that won't go to that show would go watch Jenny Lind. She's a fabulous singer. And so he sets it up and he's traveling around the world or the country and she's singing and people are flocking to see the show. But while this is going on, he's changing. Instead of the show being about him and those who help make it successful, it slowly starts to become about him and about how he looks and how much people like him. And if you haven't watched the movie, or if you have, there's a point in the movie where Jenny Lind isn't just content being able to sing, she wants him too. But he's married, he's got this wife that loves him and kids, and that's why he all started this thing in the first place, right? Because she believed in his dream. And when we start doing things for God, Hopefully we do it because we got spouses and friends that also have our back, but because we're doing it for God. That's why we start doing things in ministry, right? Because God's with us. God's there. He's part of it. But in this movie, Barnum forgets that. And before everything goes awry and there's a big fire and they lose everything, before that happens, there's a party. A success has happened. Everybody's excited about it. All the people that put on the shows, the trapeze artists, the albino woman, the Tom Thumb, they're all coming to the party. And the door is closed in their face. They weren't welcome. When we get to the video clip that we watched, they're sitting there thinking, what just happened? And she starts singing softly, I'm not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, because we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say. No one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. When the sharpest word's gonna cut me down, I'm gonna send a flood, gonna drown them out. I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, because here I come. And I'm marching on to the beat. And I think you can sort of say I here. You could say he. The drum, the beat he drums. I'm not scared to be seen. I make no apologies. This is me. So many times in life, we get off track. Either we get off track with God, or we get off track with other people in our lives. We lose track of what's important or where we're supposed to be. And it's not just something that happens in church. It happens at work. It happens in school. It happens in different places in our lives. Last year, there was another movie that came out called Jesus Revolution. Amy and I went to saw it in the theater. Did anybody see Jesus Revolution? It's the true story of, I can't remember the pastor's name off the top of my head, from California. But his daughter is getting discontented with church and what goes on there, and it's boring. And somehow, through in this movie, she meets this guy named Lonnie. And he's a hippie, but he's all about Jesus. And she introduces him to his dad, and he's already has this predisposed idea against Lonnie and people like him. But Lonnie's words and Lonnie's speaking to him really makes him see that God can use anybody, not just people like him that are stuffy and tie on. And Lonnie got up to speak. He didn't have any shoes on. The pastor's wife said, he's not wearing any shoes. I'm going to have to apologize to anybody watching online because I keep walking over here and that camera doesn't catch me over there. So I'm sorry when that happens. But even though Lonnie taught this pastor something, later on, every service, Lonnie was about making sure there was a healing service or something of the sort. And at some point in time, the pastor said to say, no, Lonnie. You're doing this because it's about you now. There's not always the Spirit moving where somebody's healed, but you are making it a point to make it look like God's doing something maybe God's not doing tonight. Lonnie made it about him. And the pastor had to set him straight, and they did split up for a while and came back together later. I tell you about that movie and because I think the message goes along with this same kind of idea, and this is me. When we do start doing something for God and we put our mind to a ministry or something in our lives or something, it doesn't even have to be something that we do for God, but something we do that we know God would approve of that could be good for people that we know. But when we get things out of order, when we get things off track and we're not doing it for the right reasons anymore. And that's where I think Scripture does tell us. It gives us an indication that where Jesus said, many will stand before me on that day and say, did we not do this in your name? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not heal the sick? And I will say unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. Sometime, at some point in time, we can get off track. We can get off and have the wrong motives. And so when we start doing something for God, it's important that we keep God first. See, that was Barnum's problem. He didn't look at the success of the show and go, wow, we did this. Look what we did. He didn't want it to be a we moment anymore. He wanted it to be, look at him. Look at what he did. And when he shut the people that really mattered out, they rebelled. They called him out. They sang a song and said, we're going to stand up for ourselves. We're not going to let anybody put us down. We're not going to take it. We're going to stand up and be proud of who we are because this is me. See, we can have the same problem that the Scripture teaches us. That's why I love our Bibles, because they tell us all the stories that of people that fall down or think wrongly and aren't thinking the way God thinks. It's a simple story. God tells Samuel, Saul's not going to be king anymore. I want you to go and choose a new king. And he goes to Bethlehem, and the people, the elders of Bethlehem say, do you come in peace? I've come to consecrate a new king, and I want you to consecrate him with me. And oh, by the way, he gets a hold of Jesse, David's dad, and says, I want you to be there too. And he goes into Jesse's house, and the first person he sees is Eliab, Jesse's oldest, tall, muscular son. Surely, this is the new king standing before me. And what does God say? But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. He goes on to say in verse 7, sorry, the rest of it's not on here. For God does not see a man, for God does not see as man sees. Since man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So many times we get off track because of this. We do the same thing. We think like man instead of like God. We don't think for a minute, wait a minute, what would God do here? Am I being fair? Did I not let so-and-so do something because of the way they look or the things they do that I don't like, but maybe God doesn't look at those things? Maybe God sees their heart? There's one scripture, one little scripture in Psalm 139:14 that says, David is writing, he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He says in there that he was known in the womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And so when we're going to be doing things that God wants us to do and thinking like God, we need to look around us at everybody we come in contact with, in our jobs, in our church, in on the grocery stores, anywhere we are, and say, wow, I may not just totally agree with everything that person does, but they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God somehow wants me to touch their lives. Somehow. And the Bible gives us examples. We talked about it a minute ago, why God gives us all the stories in the Bible, good or bad. We see how Moses didn't believe in himself. God, I can't talk. I can't do anything. you're going to have to give me somebody else to speak for me, for you, if you're going to use me, because I can't talk. My brother Aaron could be my mouthpiece. But then when you go on, it's usually Moses doing all the talking, not Aaron. We see in the book of Isaiah, we read Isaiah just a little bit ago, but before Isaiah became a prophet of God, he said to God, I'm a man of unclean lips, but God still used him. Right? So I told you as we were going to do this series, I want you to see yourself in each capacity of what we've been talking about. I want you to see yourself as the greatest showman. What kind of leader would you be? Would you put God first and the success of the whole crowd first? Or would you get off track and be more like how Barnum became, all about himself and wanted to be great and seen as great? If you were one of the freaks in the freak show, and I maintain that we are freaks in a freak show, because we are, none of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve the price paid on the cross of Calvary. None of us deserve it, but we're allowed to be in the show. And God doesn't say, God knows it's about him and Jesus, but he's also about us and our faithfulness and our accepting of the blood that was shed on Calvary without us saying, oh, I need to do this to be saved, and I need to perform this act and act this way and earn my salvation. No, it's not earned. It's given. So it's okay to see ourselves as having potential for God, but don't let it go to your head. There's a lot of scriptures that we can throw in here that apply to this. 1 Timothy verse chapter 6 tells us godliness and contentment is great gain. When we put God first and we decide to be godly and we do things for God and be content with what we have, that's great gain. But at the same time, God did not tell us to be timid. He tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul says to us, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power. That's what he's telling Timothy when he writes to him. God doesn't want you to be timid. Those people that finally stepped out and came into that party, they weren't timid. They stood up for themselves. They believed that they had a purpose and they were going to show that they were also an important part of the show. Now, we're not going to show God someday how important we are. We're not going to march on God and show him and upstage his party. If we fail with God, it's because we failed, not because God ever failed us. But God wants us to dream. He wants us to see ourselves as doing something great for him. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 sums it all up. It's a simple verse that says a lot of the same things we've been talking about. Paul writes to the Corinthians, this is a troubled church, troubled people, done many, many things. If you read, go home and read Corinthians, and you'll see all the different things that Paul had to address. But he says to them at some point in time in 1 Corinthians 4, 7, what are you so puffed up about? Why do you think you're so important? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if all you have is from God, why act as though you are so great? And as though you have accomplished something on your own. See, when we take God out of the picture, Paul is writing to us. When you think that your ministry is so great and you've done this all on your own with no help from God, when you think that the finances or the blessings that you have at your house, because you worked hard for them, but God had nothing to do with it, then you are being spoken to by Paul also. The question is, as we go continue on next week, we're going to play another soundtrack from the movie. The question today is, if when we fall down, or we get to a point where we let somebody push us down, do we stay down, or do we get back up? Do we go on for God, or do we let somebody squelch us down so we don't want to do anything for God anymore because we are discouraged? That's what we're going to look at next week as we continue on with, I believe, probably one last part of the series. There's a group in Hawaii, and maybe you can put yourself in Hawaii during this song, but not going to see a lot of scenery, I don't believe. They've done the song, "This Is Me," and most of the song words in the song, "This Is Me," are the same as what we saw earlier, with a few changes. And we're going to use that as our closing song. You don't have to sing it. Just listen to the words.